97.5, The Fanatic.
He's going left to right. Booker breaks it off down the lane. Oh, man! A left-hand jam by Booker. Breaking it off. That was like a Dwayne Wade kind of move from midcourt. Two dribbles later, left-hand soar and a slam.
And that was the impressive part, cocking it back with the left hand over both, I believe it was Korkmaz and Norvell Pell, who came over for the weak side help against Devin Booker, but not to be denied at the rim. Finishes it right there with that play, that highlight for the Phoenix Suns, and a effort of his 35 points for the Phoenix Suns again today. 610-632-0975. We broadcast from the Xfinity studio. Only from Comcast, we're going in the post. Sixers lose once again 130-117 to the Phoenix Suns this afternoon. Back at it in a back-to-back affair with the Toronto Raptors. 6:30 tip tomorrow right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We will, in fact, have in the post after the Raptors, so we will not be on before. Mike will go an extended 15 minutes, get you ready for Celts with the pregame, Tom McGinnis on the game call, and then we move on from there. So that will be what it looks like for the game tomorrow, but tonight we just simply, again, go in the post with you. 610-632-0975. If you want to once again speak about the 76ers game today, we will get into the Phillies as well with some news from Rob Motti on JT Realmuto. Rob Motti, of course, of the Fanatic in the Associated Press. So we'll run with that a little bit. And then we'll also get the update again from Josh with the game going on between the Lightning and the Jackets in fifth overtime. 85 saves for Corbisalo. 85 saves. Tremendous. Let's go to Tim in South Jersey. 85 saves. I think, he has 85. I think it's only 50-something for, I don't even know how to say his name correctly, Vasilevsky. He has 58 saves for the Lightning. Man, they're getting up some shots. The Lightning are against the Jackets. Let's go to Tim in South Jersey on the Fanatic. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Devon, how you doing, man?
How you doing, man? Thanks. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Yeah, don't ask me much about hockey, but big basketball guy here. Now, two things. One, the McHale thing, I really think anyone looking at it, I know you can't say much because people will get on you because of the relationship, but when you take the relationship out, it's a travesty. Like, people, you know, acting like it's not a big deal. Zaire's not even contributing to the team, and We traded away, you know, that to get a useless pick and could have had a guy that would be an impact player, especially with what we have going on now. So, you know, trust me, I definitely feel for you in terms of, I know you can't say too much because you do such a great job, you're always professional, but, you know, to me, that was a huge pick that we missed out on. We tried to outsmart everybody, and, you know, it's unfortunate. But
yeah, I try to keep the – listen, Tim, I'm going to keep the balance because I have to be professional. But I think most people understand where I lean. Like we had a call last night say, I know you might be torn with tomorrow's game. No, I wasn't. The Sixers are in the playoffs. The Suns are not. I want them to make the playoffs. I want him to get that experience. And they have to play the Lakers. They'll probably get thumped in four or maybe five. And that experience is great for him going forward. And Booker as well.
Yeah. No, I get it. Now, I have two things on Brett Brown. I think he's just, Brett's got to go, and these are my two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brett is always behind the curves. What I mean is, Brett had the perfect opportunity in January when Shake was hurt, when Joel was out, to test who playing a point guard with Ben. Like, I don't get why he waited so long till he has to have the layoff. Like, they had Trey Burke at the time. He was here. They could have seen, how would we have an athletic point guard and test Ben at the point four. Like, I kept telling all my friends, it was the same model they did with Cleveland, with LeBron. Like, you could put Trey Burke in there. He's a more athletic, basically, to have the rest of the lineup. And you'd have Richardson at the two. You'd have, you know, Tobias at the three. And you could play Ben at the four. And you would have had Al at the five at that time because Embiid was hurt, Shake was hurt. Mm-hmm. And it was a perfect timing. But it seems like Brett's always behind in testing these kind of things out. When he has the opportunity, he wasted all those minutes on Neto. We let Burke leave. You know, I know people may say, oh, well, it's just the bubble, but obviously Trey Burke's contributing. My second thing is, it seems like Brett's, the way his scheme is, he's been catering to Ben for years. So what I mean is, like, even now that he has been off the ball, he runs everything through the point, I think the Sixers' best chance is to have Tobias run the pick and roll and have that be their primary offense, because they get the ball, and Tobias, and again, I don't want to get too technical, but to me, Tobias and Joel in the pick and roll gives you the best opportunity, because you have Josh off the ball, you have Al also as a shooter off the ball, and you can have the Ben go into the block, and then you just run it that way. Whenever Tobias gets the ball, it's late in the shot clock. He's not like a primary create kind of guy. Like him and Ben going back to last year's play, or him and Joel going back to last year's playoffs, I felt the Sixers got the best offensive looks when they ran a lot of pick and roll with Tobias and Joel. And I just don't get why it seems like Brett, he's having Shake run things early in the shot clock, and it just seems like he's always trying to cater to Ben's ego. And last point with it, and that's my always been my thing, the trend of, you know, since Ben's been in the league, he came in the league and Brett goes, well, you know, he doesn't have to be he's a point guard. We run positionless basketball. Or he's not a point guard, actually, at first. We have positionless basketball. Then a year or two later, it's like, well, Ben's a true point guard. And then now it's, okay, well, Ben's a point forward. Like, he's making all his decisions to help Ben's ego, and that's not how you coach a basketball team.
Yeah, and that's why I think at the end of the day, Tim, most people are like, all right, it's time to move on, simply because the voice might be absent now in his message delivering it to the players at this point. Yeah, and then the changes. Draft night, when they take him, they say he's a point guard. I mean, he's a four-man. He's going to play the four-man, like a point forward position. By the time they get to summer camp with the rookies before they go to Vegas, now he's a point guard, and they didn't stop it until right now when they get here. So I hear where you're going. A lot of people feel the same way that you do, Tim. And if they are exited quickly inside this bubble in the first round of the playoffs, even in the second round, unfortunately for him, he's going to be gone.
I know. I appreciate it. I think Joel, honestly, personally, last thing, I think Joel, though, it may work out. And Joel, maybe, you know, if he can come back, whatever he can give, I think could be the savior. Because we all know at the end of the day, no matter what they run, when Joel Embiid decides to take over a game and assert himself, if they could find anybody to knock a shot down, they could be in any series. But, you know, we just don't know the consistency if that'll happen.
Well, listen, man, if he wants to be the top five player and dominate the way he says, this is now, Tim, going to be the opportunity for him to show, undermanned, without Simmons, against a fully stacked roster of the Boston Celtics with some great wing players and a point guard and Kemba Walker, who is also an all-star, that this is the time for Joel Embiid, man. Listen, thanks for the call, Tim. Appreciate the words, man. You got it as well. And right now, the Portland Trailblazers go up 2. Darn it. 132-130 over the Dallas Mavericks. Under 50 seconds now for the Mavs. Once again, the Suns need this win from the Mavs. He's going to pull up for a three. I know it, because he has Hassan Whiteside on him, even though he did just take him to the basket. He got the foul. Let's see what happens there. Play-by-play here on the Fanatic of the Blazers and Mavs, and no one cares but me. 610-632-0975. 5 overtimes for the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Flyers. They're at it. What time tomorrow? What time are they tomorrow, Josh? 3 o'clock? Is it tomorrow 3 o'clock, Josh Rabick? 3 o'clock tomorrow, I believe. Then we step in after Flyers before Sixers to do a little mashup on In the Crease and pregame for the 76ers. But we know first round playoff matchup against the Canadiens, it's going to be the Flyers postgame show here in the crease before we get to Sixers basketball. So what's that 3 o'clock start, Josh? For the Flyers tomorrow, I believe
it should be 8 o'clock.
Is it tomorrow 8 o'clock?
Yeah, 8 o'clock.
Tomorrow's 8, so it's 3 later on in the week. Okay, all right.
Yeah, Friday will be the earlier game.
Friday's the 3 o'clock game. All right, I had them mixed up. So tomorrow, the Flyers play the Canadiens in game number 1 of their first round matchup in the Stanley Cup playoffs. 610-632-0975. No score yet. Still. No score yet. 5 overtimes right now for the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's see where our man is, Corpusalo, with saves. He is at 85 still right now. So no shots on goal yet for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's go to Gerald in Miami. What's up, G, in the post?
Hey, what's up, Devon?
What's going on, man?
Listen, man, today's a sad day for me, man, because every time I see your cousin play, I get reminded that we didn't get squat for that deal, bro.
You got Tobias Harris.
Well, no. We didn't get Tobias Harris for your cousin. We we could have still figured out a way to get Tobias. That, we just had to give them another pick later on. We got Zaire Smith, and Zaire Smith isn't worth a bag of balls to us right now. So it's frustrating to me, especially when I look at our bench and we don't, you know. But the last couple of days, I've been kind of reviewing kind of the end of the process. We went through this crazy thing called the process. I know you weren't a huge fan of it.
No, I was not a fan at all.
Yeah. So
understood it. Didn't want them to do it.
Right. But at the end of the day, it got us Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, two superstars, if you want to say that, right? Or what we thought were going to be superstars. Because I still think the jury's out. A little less on Joel, but a little more on Ben for me. But I started reviewing, and really the last 2 years, they just screwed this up everywhere they could. And I got to put a lot of this on Brett Brown and his talent evaluation. And one of the reasons is people forget, when we took Zaire Smith and made that trade, when we took Mikhail and made that trade for Zaire, Brett Brown was calling the shots then because they hadn't given job to the new GM yet.
He was the interim general manager.
Then I see all these guys that he gets on the roster – they can't get in. They can't do anything here worth having, and they go somewhere else, and they look like they got some talent. Or they Josh Richardson comes here from a team. He had improved every year of his career. He gets here, and that guy can't figure anything out on the court until the game the other night. So I'm starting to really question this. I've already had questions about it, but now I'm really sinking in. Like, I doubt not only his coaching ability, I doubt Brett Brown's talent evaluation. And part of that goes to how he uses the people and puts them on the floor on his team. And the more I look at it, the more I'm like, I'm tired of let's give Ben another year, another year, another year. But for this reason, even if Brett Brown is a terrible coach, the idea of this, Simmons has not progressed offensively at all. He's actually slightly regressed offensively if you look at his numbers from his rookie year. So when I look at this situation, I'm sitting here going, number one, yo, Brett Brown's got to be out of here. And even if they win a championship, unless he's masterful in every single game, I'm like, let's at least see who's out there. But Brett Brown has got to get zipped. And the truth of it is, I think you have a short leash with Simmons. And if that coach can't reach him quick, maybe Simmons gets traded next season too.
Next season, you mean after or during?
No,
but not this offseason, no.
No, I mean if not in the offseason. I mean if – well, here's the thing. I'm about the name on the front of the jersey. So if somebody said to us tomorrow you could have Dame Lillard, I might make that trade right now. If somebody said you could have Dame Lillard and they gave us something else to sweeten it that we really wanted,
for Ben,
I would probably take the trade. I'm about the name on the front.
For and
I
Ben, think that's not even a probably. I would do that for Damian Lillard.
But even if they said Trae Young, I might have to take that. Trae Young's averaging 30 points a game and 9 rebounds. Now, I know he's not as good of a defensive player.
Nine assists.
I know he's and 4 rebounds. I know he's not as good of a defensive player as Ben, but I got to say, he's dominating games, and what would having that kind of a threat do to spread the floor for us? What would that do for Embiid with them being able to do less double teams? It's just driving me crazy as I look, and I know the general manager, he's barely been in the job, 6-8 months?
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to make some bold moves because right now, I judge him a little bit because he was part of the brain trust. He didn't make the final decisions, but he's been part of the brain trust the last few years when all these mistakes were made. So he's got to make some bold moves, and if he doesn't,
It's crazy though, Gerald, because I thought he did make bold moves, if you will. Now, whether they worked or not, they were bold with Jimmy Butler for Robert Covington and Dario Saric only because you didn't re-sign him. That was always the thing. You have to be able to re-sign him. So
you're
going to
make those moves.
That's bold, though.
You got to re-sign him, and they didn't make that happen.
They got one of two when they kept Harris. That was another bold move. And right there with that bold move happening, you kept Harris. The other bold was signing him to the extension that you gave him. So they were bold. Just not something that we necessarily liked at the end of the day.
No, I don't know if they. I don't know if the Harris.
Well, the Harris thing was bold. The Harris thing was bold in the beginning, from the start, because you traded Shamit, and with the 2021, and then after that, you re-upped and allowed Jimmy Butler to move, and felt like, all right, now that we didn't do this, like you said, if you make that move for Butler, you gotta lock him back up. Then they said to themselves, if we couldn't get this one done, we gotta lock up Tobias Harris. That's right. A bold thing to give him that money because you let Jimmy go.
That's bold. I think they would have bribed me. They got stuck and they couldn't. There was nobody else they could go get, so they scrambled out. They said, all right, well, we gotta keep Tobias because we don't have another choice. Because you and I both know, if they could have kept, do you think if they could have kept Jimmy and Tobias, that Al Horford wouldn't be here?
Oh, he would not be here.
Okay, so my point is, they got made the bridesmaid, so then they were like, all right, well, since we lost out on the guy we wanted, we miscalculated there. And here's the thing. It's not just bold moves. You have to make bold moves that work. Because at the end of the day, you traded away some assets for Jimmy Butler, and guess what happened? He didn't get you where you were supposed to go. The coach, the team, whatever, didn't make it happen, and Jimmy walked out of town 4 months later. That was a failure. A bold move, but you got to make bold moves that work. And this team keeps making these bold moves, like trading your cousin. It's not working.
It is, and he will, you know, Brown will be out first, and Brown will bring in a coach, and they have to now make adjustments with Richardson or the rest of the roster, with Horford. And then, as you pointed out later on, seeing if the new coach can unlock Simmons and Embiid even more going forward. G, thanks for the call, man.
Brother. I'll talk to you.
Always, man. I wonder if it's too late for, even though they probably need a new voice, I wonder if the voice is now too late because Embiid and Simmons are already locked in to themselves. Like we said last night, and we talked to earlier? Now I'm mad because we were talking about. Anyway, the point of me making yesterday and they bringing it up that they haven't won anything. They haven't won anything yet. So they are not allowed to, when a new coach comes in, ignore the message there. They're not allowed. They're not good enough. You are a second round team the last two exits. This year, most likely a first round exit. Again, not good enough. You're just not. Not. Elbow Shaferi doubles down. I already know how he feels. Fact. Alec Burks can't play for every team in the league. He couldn't get minutes for a scoring challenge Jazz team who have a great coach. Quinn Snyder is very good. I'll die on this hill, Devon. I'm digging in. Prove me wrong, Alec. He has played well. Give him that. Give him that, Brian. Burks has played well. Give him that much. 610-632-0975. Crazy. Burks played well. Neto played well tonight, but I still lean more Burks. Let's go to Carl Mount Airy. Carl, it's been a while. How you been, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How you feeling?
All right. I'm calling because, you know, I'm down with the process, you know, and everything. But I'm going to tell you what the problem is. The problem is Ben Simmons doesn't fit here. Ben Simmons hasn't improved since he's been here. Ben Simmons shouldn't have been an all-star. And I'm going to tell you why, because of the simple fact he always says, soon you say something, well, I'm an all-star. He hasn't made the team better. Of course, he looks good, 6'10". He can dribble, handle the ball. But when we need you, Ben, you ain't there. Don't be there against bum teams. You're not there. They put him at the four. And I knew that Shake Milton wasn't going to work. They moving Ben to the four. And I'm not hating on Shake Milton at all. But I'm telling you, I don't care who they get. It's not going to work with Brett Brown. Brett Brown falls in love with the wrong players. He makes the wrong moves. And he keeps teams in the game when he make the way he do his rotation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not going to work. They don't even hear Brett Brown anymore. Anytime you got to come through the media to get to a player, yeah, I want Ben to shoot threes.
Tell his family, tell his people. Yeah.
Anytime right. A coach got to do that, then you lost touch of the team. They don't respect you. That's why if I was personally, I wish They would give up. And I always liked Devin Booker. I'm like what the other guy said, Trae Young. They are a threat. What I mean by a threat, you can't lay off of them or they're going to burn you.
I know what you mean.
And what I mean is, what I like Ben, if you look at what Ben does, he doesn't, when the clock is running down and the guard penetrate, he won't pop out for the kick out. He don't do that. Now, if it's 10 seconds, 12 seconds, he'll pop for the kick out because he can get rid of the ball. He doesn't want, for that kind of money, he don't want to take the last shot. Yeah, the other night, Shake Milton took the other shot. Yeah, Burke is balling. I like Burke. But Burke is not scared to take the last shot neither.
No, he's
and
not.
You need people. He's not scared. That's what I'm saying. Ben doesn't want that. And it's a lot of players that got paid a lot of money that shouldn't be paid. They're not worth that. And I think Elton Brand has done a great job. But when you got the coach with these guys, it's not gonna work. So that makes Elton Brand look bad.
Now quickly on the Simmons part, as we give him, as you point out, all those things, Carl, that you don't like, and you're not alone. What about the defensive side? I mean, he's a legitimate all NBA defender, Carl.
Okay.
On the wing, as you just talk about stopping those people. I mean, those people scoring. He's there to stop those people, and he does it.
Okay, he didn't stop my man the other night.
That was one game, and if you hot like that, you hot like that. I mean, come on, okay, we can't take that away from him.
Okay, but we can't have 5-on-4.
Right,
but you're not
addressing what I'm asking you about the defense.
He's a defensive player.
That's not a non-part of the game. That's a big part of the game.
That's a big part of the game. But what we need him for? What do we need him for? Tell it to. What do we need him for?
His two-way play.
We need him to be the 1-2 punch for scoring.
And you want, all right, so he averages 17. Obviously, you don't like how he gives you 17. How much more do you want from him points per wise?
You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because he shows you every year him shoot jump shots.
And I don't care about that. Yeah.
Exactly. Because when you're in the game, that's a totally different vibe when you're in the game.
100%.
That comfortability, that you being comfortable, you know what I mean? You got to actually be good and confident when you're doing it.
100%.
Confident. I told people he's going to, just like a boxer, he's going to go right back to where he's comfortable to, driving the lane. And the playoffs, it's a half-court game. Right now, these games are like playoff games. So it's like half-court. So he's not good at half-court. He comes down, get a ball up when he got it, or he'll grab it on the rebound and run for the break. Right now, he's not giving us that you know, team that had it, the 1-2 punch or the 1-2-3. He ain't giving us the 1-2.
All right. Well, listen, man, Carl, it's always going to be a good conversation. And guess what? If they're eliminated in about 2 weeks, which we probably think they will be, we're going to be having these discussions for the offseason as well. Carl, good to catch up with you, man. We'll talk soon. You got it, man. 610-632-0975. Final segment coming up on the other side. 610-632-0975 in the post. Sixers fall 130-117. Devin Booker dropped 35 against the Sixers this afternoon. Sixers were led by Alec Burks' 23 in a starting spot for the Sixers. Final segment, 25 minutes commercial free. We'll get to all your calls when we get back. We'll give you an update on the Phillies thing with Rob Motti's tweet. And the game has come to a close. Josh would let us know about it. Tampa and Columbus on the other side here on the Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
Sixers ball. Here's Burks with it. Burks outside to Scott. He's wide open for three, and it's good. Boy, Phoenix leaving the hottest Sixer open, and Scott drills his third three. He's 6 of 8, 15 points.
Nice game from Mike Scott. Nice bounce back for him. 17 points in a starting role, 22 minutes and 7 seconds for the 76ers. Did not play the fourth. Brett Brown, I'm guessing, wanted to rest him with some minute restrictions, knowing they have a back-to-back against the Raptors tomorrow. And might need a little bit more from him as they get ready for the Raptors and then the Rockets to close out the seeding game. 610-632-0975. Devon Gibbons with you. Final segment here with us. Josh Rabick producing. And a couple of updates. The Tampa Bay Lightning do take the game against the Columbus Blue Jackets 3-2 and 5 overtimes, and that Boston game that was supposed to follow has now been postponed until tomorrow, 11 a.m. because of this 5-overtime game. So
good news for Philadelphia sports fans too, because the Flyers and Penguins 2005 overtime series still holds the record for the longest game in modern NHL history.
Man. So a nice win there. Sports. We missed it, certainly. And that's why we want everybody to stay safe. Sports are back, and you get that. Phillies right now, 5-3 down in the eighth to the Baltimore Orioles. What's new with the Phillies? And the Portland Trail Blazers, for my own rooting interest here on the show, they, in a nail biter, right? They were getting it on. 134-131. Blazers beat the Mavs. Now they are in sole possession of the eighth seed in the Western Conference, where currently in the standings behind them, it is the Grizzlies. Pardon me. It is the Grizzlies, Suns, and Spurs. Grizzlies, Suns, and Spurs right now for the... Yeah, see, ESPN has it. Grizzlies still there, but they are... No, it's the Blazers. I'm guessing it's the... No, it's definitely the Blazers in the eighth spot. Grizzlies, Suns, and Spurs all a half a game behind the Portland Trail Blazers now. Why is that? Because Damian Lillard cannot be stopped. So when we talk about Devin Booker being the MVP, you might want to pay attention to what the hell Damian Lillard has been doing, because he just dropped another 61 on somebody. Pardon me, not another. He had 51 against the Sixers. He hung 61 tonight in a must-win game, if you will, for the Blazers with one more to go on the Dallas Mavericks.
You know who I blame for
61.
All this?
61.
The Clippers. I blame the Clippers for
Absolutely.
All of this.
Absolutely. And everybody else who doesn't give Damian Lillard the respect that he deserves, period. 61. Look at his line. 17 of 32. All right. So he shoots over 50% from the floor. 9 of 17 from behind the three-point line. 18 of 18 from the free throw line for the Blazers. 3 turnovers, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 41 minutes, and they beat the Mavs 134-131. They have the possession right now of the eighth seed in the Western Conference. Look at this on Thursday. We talk about Memphis, Phoenix, and San Antonio, right? And Portland, half a game up on those three teams. Memphis plays Milwaukee on Thursday. Phoenix plays Dallas on Thursday. San Antonio plays Utah on Thursday. Portland takes on the Nets on Thursday. Man, again, how does the NBA luck into this stuff? Because Thursday is going to be crazy as a basketball fan to find out what happens with that eighth seed. If you care, if you're a basketball fan, you should care in terms of just the interest of the game, the competitiveness, playing in the bubble, no fans, the meaningful possessions that are going to be out there. What it means for a young team like Phoenix and Memphis, who have not been in the postseason, led by these young players, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, Ja Morant, his young coach, and Taylor Jenkins, and the people surrounding them with no Jaren Jackson Jr. San Antonio just wasn't supposed to do that. All they do is win their first few games, and they put themselves in this position. And then the Portland Trailblazers again. What does it mean? Damian Lillard goes off once again. CJ McCollum didn't even play well. CJ only had 8 points, 2 of 14. This is the second time he shot poorly. Carmelo Anthony came up big with 26 on 10 of 17 from the floor. Damian Lillard dropping 61. But look, opposite, Porzingis, 36. Doncic, 25. He missed a free throw, too, at the end that would have tied the game, 132-132. He missed a free throw. Tim Hardaway Jr. with 24. Maxi Kleber with 12 off the bench. And a bad play, too. Trey Burke, who played 31 minutes and had 12 points, 9 assists in a starting role this evening. He had a play where he went baseline, flipped it to Dorian Finney-Smith in a corner, knocked down the three, but in the process of making the kind of dump-off handoff to him in the corner, he ran over Damian Lillard, offensive foul. That negated the three-pointer right there. Big play. for the Dallas Mavericks with that offensive foul. Now, Dallas, they're fine. They're in the playoffs. Standings-wise, they are sitting right now in the seventh spot, a game and a half behind the Utah Jazz. So, of course, they would have been closer to the Jazz and the Jazz and the Spurs play. But right now, it looks like the Utah Jazz are going to get that sixth spot. Dallas is going to get that seventh seed. They're going to have to play the Clippers instead of playing the Nuggets, a possibility from that sixth spot. Nuggets in the three seed right now. Houston and Oklahoma City, 8-9 right now for them. Pardon me, Houston, eight games back, one game up on Thunder, 4-5 in this particular spot. So, again, the NBA got it right. The Western Conference bringing these teams. All right, the Pelicans and the Kings, they let everybody down. But where the Pelicans were supposed to be, the Phoenix Suns and the San Antonio Spurs, along with the Portland Trail Blazers, have put themselves in that spot. While it's not Zion Williamson, you got Devin Booker, MVP candidate for the bubble. Damian Lillard, probably the leader MVP candidate for the bubble. And the San Antonio Spurs are just the San Antonio Spurs, and they continue to do what the heck the San Antonio Spurs do by finding a way to make it into the playoffs even when they lose Kawhi Leonard. And we know of everyone else, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Tim Duncan there before all of that. So 610-632-0975. So that's the NBA just got it right, man. They luck into it. They got the bubble right. They are where they are. Things are working out. Damian Lillard is that guy. Damian Lillard is that guy. Always said it. If I'm moving Simmons, ever, before all of this stuff that's happening right now, last year's talk, it would be for Damian Lillard. Yes, no doubt about it. And you see why. Man, Brian in Plymouth meeting. What's up, B?
Yo, sorry about that Blazers win, D.
Hey, man, listen, when you get 61 like that, what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, Dame is amazing.
He is.
Yeah, you have been saying that for a while, and I wouldn't have thought that way before, but he's legit. He's clutch. If I was a regularly betting person, though, I would have picked the Blazers to miss the playoffs this year. I'm not sure how that would have worked out with the bubble. I'd be right there with you.
Yeah.
I'd actually be pretty angry tonight.
Yeah, nah, I hear you, man. But look, look, at this point, all I can root for the Suns is to get into that 8-9 playoff game. That playoff,
oh, yeah, for sure.
That's it. And right there, you're looking at the Suns getting the playoff experience right there in a pressure-packed situation against the Blazers, and then hopefully moving on to the Lakers. So you get it. You get games right. It'd be fantastic. But Portland has the Nets, so they're going to beat the Nets. Even though the Nets have been playing well under Jacques Vaughn, they're going to beat the Nets.
Oh, yeah.
And he's probably going to put up another 50.
Yeah, that's a tough break there. So, anyway.
Man.
So I want to talk about, just chime in about the negative stuff that's been going on tonight, and then hopefully time for some positive moving forward. I mean, Brett Brown signed his pink slip when he spouted out, "We're star hunting," which everybody knew that that's what they were doing. But, yeah, he just got to the, he's trying to please everybody, and going out and saying that it's going to be used against him. You know, obviously they make that trade, they acquire that pick. And, you know the NBA. Unprotected picks are like shiny objects, like bags of magic beans to owners and GMs because it represents hope. So they're overvalued.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, like, look, before the Butler trade last year, I would have ranked the assets as the Heat pick, Covington, Dario, and then Zaire. Mm-hmm. And the only reason the Timberwolves didn't ask for the Heat pick is because they were in a classic situation of having their decision maker desperate to win.
Yes.
Now. So
yep.
He wanted Covington, he wanted Saric. Like, a quality organization would have taken the Heat pick over one of those two guys.
Yes.
And you know, obviously we lose Jimmy, but if the conversation is different, if we use that pick to acquire Jimmy Butler, you would agree with that, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and then a lot of things are totally different. Totally different.
You know, I mean, we've made so many mistakes, and you know, I wanted Mikal as well.
I do. And look,
you know,
be fair, because you heard the call earlier. You know, a lot of times you're like, look, let's just let it go and move on. And you're right. And that's why I don't bring it up. The only example I've given is when Pat Egan and I would be together, and I would bring up the scenario of the 21, not here, of course, as you just pointed out, because it might have been moved elsewhere, but Shamit McHale here in that 2018 draft. You talked about the star hunting part, keeping Butler, possibly Redick, and you never do the whole Clippers thing with Tobias Harris, and now you don't have Horford and Richardson and all that. Which side would you want more? That type of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm just talking about the callers, and it's obviously a relevant topic tonight. I wasn't talking about what you were saying.
No. I mean, just you and I in the past having that talking where I've shared that, and we've talked about that before because, you know, it's a real thing. If you kind of go back and look at those things, it's a real deal.
Yeah. I mean, they acquired it as ammo for a star, and they didn't know who it was going to be, and then they kind of got desperate and whatever. They did whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they've made so many mistakes in the past 4 years, Devon. But you know what? Let me get to the positive, though, because we are not it's not as bad as it seems. And, you know, somebody mentioned Van Gundy earlier. Jeff, not Stan. I'm kind of on that bandwagon. I actually hope Tillman Fertitta goes bankrupt and he sells this Daryl Morey. Because Daryl Morey and other smart GMs would look at the Horford contract is not an albatross. The Horford contract is an opportunity to acquire a player who makes the same amount of money by packaging that with other stuff.
Like, for example, the Buddy Hield thing that people bring up as,
well, yeah,
as
I mean,
an example.
I think that's phony. And
I'm just using it as an example, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like... It is definitely a negative value contract right now. But once you get through next season, and then it's one season and then declining value the following season, then it's like neutral, assuming he's still somewhat productive. You know, the fact that the salary declines from year 3 to 4, that's gonna make it valuable. Like a guy like Daryl Morey would be able to turn that into something great. I mean, look what he's done with nothing with Houston for a while. And I'm not saying that that's a realistic thing. I'm just saying that there's ways that the Sixers are not asset stripped. They've got moves to make. They've got guys that, you know, they've got young guys. They still have all their own picks, or hopefully they get the Thunder pick and then they have all their own picks. So it's not as bad as it looks. We need to get Brett out of here. And I really want to see them not make any major changes. Let a new coach come in here with guys that have played together for a little bit, see how much progression you get out of the young guys, see what the coach can do. Like, it's got to be a guy who's got a plan for
Joe.
Give
me two names again. Give me two names.
Well, I mean,
I know how you feel with me, like the Van Gundy, Jeff, not Stan.
I mean, I don't, it's tough. I don't really know. That's the problem is there's really not, you've got to have an established coach.
See, I still like Dave Yeager. People never talk about him.
I would love Yeager. I forgot about him.
Yeah, Yeager. He's out there. Remember, he was with the Kings. They let him go.
Oh, but, I mean, the job he did with Zach Randolph and Marcus.
Exactly. Saul. Yep. I like Van Gundy. I like, who was the other guy that I really, Kenny Atkinson, I still have questions about, but I like what he did there. He just never did it with a star.
He did do a great, yeah, he did an absolute great job. I would be very nervous because, I mean, this next coach is make or break for this whole project that we've endured.
Yeah.
And I hope we'll
money is
going to
be an issue. Money is
going
to be an issue because they still have to pay Brett, and I don't know if Josh Harris wants to do that. So that'll be a conversation we'll have later.
I mean,
on. Yeah, that would be a conversation. We'll have that.
It's time to find out what Josh Harris is all about. I mean, he committed to this. It was going to be a luxury tax team. Hopefully, because of everything that's going on in the NBA, I'm thinking that they're going to just do a moratorium on the luxury tax entirely next year.
I agree with you.
That would be so big for the Sixers. But I don't see how they have any other choice.
I agree with you. I agree. 100%, man. You're going to have to bite the bullet on this one. Listen, B, we'll talk later on, man. We'll probably talk tomorrow.
All right, later,
you got it, man. Thanks. Let's keep it moving on the phones. Lance in Arizona. What's up, Lance?
What's up, man? I have a couple of things. First off, with the NBA is going to run into the problem that the Portland Trail Blazers are going to wind up playing an extra game, whereas Phoenix, the Grizzlies, and the Spurs are going to wind up playing one less game than them, and you're going to wind up having two teams tied for that 9. And the Spurs might wind up having 33. They might go 34 or 33 and 38, whereas the other two teams above them go like 34 and 39, which is going to be a problem when you go to that 8-9 playoff game because one team didn't have enough games. Like if San Antonio got an extra game to catch up to everyone, they might finish with a better record at 34-38, but you didn't give them the opportunity to do that because they didn't have enough games in the bubble.
Right.
You didn't make up. So, like, that's going to be an issue for them.
It is.
I don't know how you get...
For the most part, they've gotten it right. That look, that flaw right there, you're absolutely right. But for the most part, they've gotten this thing correct.
No, they got it right. That, like, to me, I'm curious how to see that. They should just do a four-team playoff at that point and have two teams face two teams, and then the winners face each other would be the best solution to this problem. But I don't know if they would do that. I think it would be awesome if they did. You'd get extra ratings, for sure.
Man.
It would make sense.
Listen, right now, it looks like, for real, let's look at it honestly, Lance, the NBA needs Damian Lillard or Devin Booker in the playoffs.
Yeah, which is going to be a shame because I think there's a tiebreaker between Memphis and Phoenix. I think the tiebreaker goes to Memphis, which at this point, like Memphis, like I like Ja or Ja Morant, but yeah, like
he can wait. It's not his turn
Devin
yet.
Booker,
yeah, exactly.
I'd much rather see Lillard. But like that's gonna be the problem. They should have a 4-team playoff. Like they should change it. Do that. Have those teams play each other. Like Spurs play Portland, Suns play Memphis, and then you have Suns play Portland if they win. Assuming those are the two teams that win, that would be awesome because then you would get Lillard versus Booker in a game that gets you to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's
what they need right now. Absolutely, that's exactly what they need right now. Yep.
And then like I don't know if you guys were watching this overtime game. In the NHL, man, that was five overtimes. That was near Keith Primo overtime, like almost a minute less.
Yeah,
but
Josh,
man,
Josh
that was
updating
some really good hockey too.
Yeah, Josh was up there. 85 saves in that particular game for the goaltender. That was for the Lightning. No, for Columbus Blue Jackets, Korpisalo. Yeah, so, man, listen, Lance, thanks for the call, man. We'll chat. No doubt about it, man. We appreciate it because we want to get these other guys in here as well, give them their opportunity. We got about 3 minutes, so let's give it a minute each to Josh and Chris. Josh, what's up?
How's it going, man?
How you doing, man?
I have a question, dude. I know it's always like, you know, when you see into the future and things happen, obviously we looked at it when it happened and we judge it a little differently, but when they put this Sixers team together, and basically they added Horford, but they didn't add, you know, any kind of shooting. They got rid of JJ. They got rid of Jimmy. Why do you think it is that Sixers fans thought that this team would be better than the one that almost made it to the finals last year?
Say that last part one more time.
So, I mean, when I looked at this team when they first assembled it this year, I didn't see why so many Sixers fans thought that this team going to be a better team than the one that rimmed out and almost made it to the finals last year, because you took away shooting and you added a superstar in Al Horford, but there was already someone playing his position.
Yeah.
And when you watch this team now, it just looks like a bunch of guys that like never met before. I mean, we've all played like, you know, obviously none of us have played in like the NBA or the NHL or anything like that. But when you assemble a team on any level, right, and the guys don't know each other, or if you're filling in for a team that, you know, you've never met before, it just doesn't click, right? When you look at this team play, not only is it like not enjoyable, but to watch this look at these guys, they don't click, man.
So let me give you an answer quickly, Josh. So here's what I thought going into the start of the season. Not that they were better than last year, but they would just be just as good, because I thought last year's team should have gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals and see what happens to get to the NBA Finals. And I had the same thing this year. I thought they would get to the East Conference Finals this year and advance to the NBA Finals as well. My reason was because you still added talent. Why not better? You had very good talent. And I expected Simmons and Embiid to take that next step in their evolution and their growth of their play. They did not do that overall.
Do you think Simmons will ever take that step? At this point,
I got one more year for him and then I'm done. And here's why I say that, Josh, because I want a new coach to see if he can unlock it. If he cannot.
No, you know what? And listen, I hate to interrupt you, but I know you're going to cut me off. So I'm a big Flyers fan. So I did the same thing with the Flyers.
Yeah.
And look what a new coach did for them, right? So
right.
Let's give it a chance. Let's give it another year.
One more.
And you know what? If they succeed bigger next year, I hate to say it, but maybe we have to give them one more year.
Maybe they change things, Josh. Thanks for the call for roster-wise a little bit more. Chris, you got about 30 seconds, man. I apologize, but go. Never mind. That'll set us up. Josh, great work. We're back tomorrow together? Are we back?
No.
No? All right, you stink.
I do.
I thought you were back tomorrow. But that's okay. We're sandwiching between Flyers and Sixers tomorrow. After Flyers. No, pardon me. Yes.
It's okay. We're back together on Thursday.
We're back together Thursday. All right. So what are we doing tomorrow? What time are we on tomorrow? Six going into We're after Sixers, right? So we're after Sixers and going until midnight?
Yeah, you're 9:30 to midnight.
9:30 to midnight. All right. Well, Josh, good stuff, man. Good, as always, thanks so much. Sixers fall 130-117 to the Suns. A big game from Devin Booker and others. I'll leave it there. You can check the box score. And Sixers back at it tomorrow against the Toronto Raptors. 6:30 tip right here on the Fanatic. Thanks to Josh. Thanks to all the calls, all the tweets, all the listeners. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.